Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss Super Bowls with a few of the greatest plays of the game and many more Hall of Fame legendary birthdays and stories, all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have your football history headlines for February 1st. Some great history that we're going to talk about. We're going to start off in the year 1913. All-around athlete Jim Thorpe signs a contract to play baseball with the New York Giants. Now, we know that Thorpe was a great football player. We know he was a great Olympian, you know, had multiple gold medals just the summer before that in 1912. But baseball, well, he played a few seasons, but he wasn't one of the better baseball players out there. He was just a guy in baseball. It's hard to say about an athlete like Jim Thorpe. But, you know, you put him on a football field or put him in, some track and field, and oh my goodness gracious, you know, he's the guy. February 1st, 1968, Vince Lombardi steps down as the Green Bay Packers head coach. He was Green Bay's longtime coach, and their longtime assistant, Phil Bengston, became the franchise's general manager for the 1968 season. February 1st, 1972, the 72 NFL draft was held, and the top pick was Walt Podolsky from the University of Notre Dame, who was the choice of number one by the Buffalo Bills. And there was only one Pro Football Hall of Fame player from this draft so far, according to the Pro Football Reference, and that was Penn State running back Franco Harris, who went to Pittsburgh with the 13th overall pick. February 1st, 1981, the Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. The NFC tripled up the NFC 21-7 in the 1980 season's NFL Pro Bowl. The game's most valuable player was Eddie Murray, the kicker of the Detroit Lions, according to the OnThisDay.com. Now, can you imagine that, having a kicker as the most valuable player in a football game? That's pretty remarkable. I don't know if that has ever happened before. I know it hasn't happened in a Super Bowl. I know you haven't had a league MVP for a season, and it might be the only time we'd have to look that up, but it's ever happened in a Pro Bowl. That's pretty rare. So Mr. Eddie Murphy has a big trivia answer there if you ever have a trivia question at your local watering hole. February 1st, 1987, the 1986 season's NFL Pro Bowl was also played at beautiful Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. Don't you miss those Pro Bowls when they're played there? I know the players do. Well, the results of this contest in 1987 were that the AFC team edged out the NFC squad 10-6, and the game's MVP was the legendary defensive end of Philadelphia Eagles at the time, Reggie White. Now, that's who you would typically feel be an MVP. You know, you have a great defensive player like that, or a running back, or a quarterback. Very rare for a kicker. February 1st, 1998, another NFL Pro Bowl was played in this day, again in Aloha Stadium. And who wouldn't make it a Pro Bowl just for that trip? The AFC nipped the NFC once again in this game by a final score of 29-24. The Seattle Seahawks veteran signal caller of that season, the legendary Warren Moon, won the most valuable player. Now, we get to some big games. February 1st, 2004, Reliant Stadium, Houston, Texas. What a game Super Bowl 38 was to match up the league's top two teams. It was number one versus number one, Carolina Panthers, New England Patriots. The American football fandom has the scoop. And although neither team could score in the first or the third quarters, they both ended up with a combined total of 868 yards and 61 points. That's each team averaging 434 yards in 30 and a half points. Pretty good offensive scoring there, and not scoring at all in the first or third quarter. Interesting. The game was scoreless for the Super Bowl record 26 minutes and 55 seconds before the two teams combined for 24 points prior to halftime and an amazing 37 combined points in a fast-paced fourth quarter. The New England Patriots squeaked by the Carolina Panthers 32-29. The big game MVP was the GOAT. Quarterback Tom Brady, who set a Super Bowl record for the most pass completions of 32 while completing 66.7% of his passes and accumulating 354 yards passing with three touchdowns. It was the second championship in 3 years for the Patriots. February 1st, 2009, at Raymond James Stadium, Tampa Bay, Florida, the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers butted heads in Super Bowl 43. This championship game may have more highlight reel plays than any other in game history. Who can forget the Larry Fitzgerald 64-yard score with 2:45 remaining to put the Cards up for, I believe, the first time in that game on the scoreboard? Or the Santonio Holmes toe tap in the end zone late in the game ended up being the game winner. But probably my favorite play was the game-changing James Harrison 100-yard pick six to end the first half. Now you sit there and you think about that. That score by Harrison, that was either a 14-point or at least a 10-point swing in that game. Well, we talked about the late pass play from Roethlisberger to Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone. The Steelers defeated the Arizona Cardinals 27-23, and that toe dance along the, well, there were some other crucial grabs on the final drive. Well, that earned Santonio Holmes the most valuable player in that game. And we have February 1st, 2014. Peyton Manning. You know, who can say enough about Peyton Manning? He was great with the Colts. Well, with the Denver Broncos in 2014, he set an all-time record for the most valuable player awards in the NFL per the Washington Post. This quarterback won his fifth MVP trophy with the NFL honors in New York City on that day, February 1st, 2014. He also capped off the evening by captioning the 2013 Offensive Player of the Year as well. February 1st, 2014, Ray Guy, the Oakland Raiders and LA Raiders, became the second pure kicker, first pure punter to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. February 1st, 2015, the University of Phoenix Stadium, Glendale, Arizona, the question on everybody's mind at the completion of Super Bowl 49 was, why didn't they go beast mode? With 26 seconds remaining, Seattle had the ball, second and goal from the Patriots' one-yard line with one timeout remaining. Russell Wilson was in shotgun formation, having short yardage expert Marshawn Lynch perched on his left hip. The New England had eight in the box, expecting a run, but Wilson took the snap and promptly tried firing a short slant pass over the middle, which Malcolm Butler of the Patriots stepped in front of, undercut, intercepted it, per the ESPN.com. There was no joy in the Northwest that evening as the Patriots denied the Seahawks another consecutive Lombardi Trophy, as they held on to win by a score of 28-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. The game's most valuable player was quarterback Tom Brady once again. So two MVPs, two Super Bowl championships for Brady on this day, and some great awards for Peyton Manning as well. So the quarterbacks are getting a lot of glory that day. We have a couple Hall of Fame birthdays to talk about here. February 1st, 1908, New Haven, Connecticut. Albie Booth, the great Yale University halfback, arrived in his life. The National Football Foundation voters selected Albie Booth for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1966. And also, 7 years later, in 1915, in Ruppel, in Louisiana, the legendary LSU end, Gaynell Tinsley was born. The National Football Foundation granted Gaynell Tinsley's collegiate gridiron legacy entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1956. So there you have it. Some great history on the day of February 1st, you know, day before Groundhog's Day, and we're talking Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, and some great MVP trophies getting handed out. You know, who can ask for anything better than that? We're glad that you could join us here once again. We hope that you'll also catch us over on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, where we're going to talk about some of these football items are on there, but we talk about all sports as affected with the jersey numbers. You'll be learning a lot about football history, learning a lot about basketball, baseball, and hockey history too. And we usually try to have a special guest at the end of every one of those programs on our dailies there. And you know, today is real special there because we also have a great guest that we're going to be talking to on a bonus edition of the Sports Jersey Dispatch. Make sure you check that out. It's also a big day. Orville Mulligan, sports writer. Yes, our full-length episode is releasing today, and I think everybody's going to enjoy that. You have about a half hour of some great listening pleasure, some great acting, voice acting, and some great mixing and writing by my friend Oz Davis. Who I've partnered up with on that, with our great idea here, putting a fictional newspaper man in some real instances of 1924 sports. It's real intriguing. Orville Mulligan, sports writer, sportshistorynetwork.com or orvillemulligan.com. And, you know, check that out. We're going to have some social media floating around on that today, so please listen to that. Give us your feedback on Orville Mulligan, Sports Jersey Dispatch, and Pigskin Dispatch. Write me at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about what we got going on there. And if you'd like to get on our new emailing list, we've just new and improved. We've had an email list for a while, but we've got a great newsletter coming out each and every day telling you what's happening with our great Dispatch websites and podcasts. And we want to make sure you are in the groove here. Just let me know about that, and we'll get you hooked up and an invite sent. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.